Let us bow our heads in thanksgiving as we conclude our time of offering. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel today comes from the gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter, verses 40 through 45. A leper came to Jesus begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And the people came to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we come before you to reflect upon your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In my welcome this morning, I mentioned four things that are going on. And that's a lot of stuff to try to take up in one worship service. So what do we focus on? Well, just as a reminder, with everything that's going on today, are these things. We can talk about November 1st and All Saints Day and the tradition of All Saints and those who have gone before us, those great cloud of witnesses who taught us the faith, from Sunday school teachers to martyrs, to parents, to grandparents, you name it, who's taught and brought you up in the faith. We can talk about all of them and how they taught us how to walk in the way of the Lord, how they showed us how to pray and live our lives through the study of Scripture and prayer and helping others. We learn in a variety of ways, and that's what God has given us through the saints that have gone before us, those who have passed this last year and even prior to that, since the beginning of the church, since the beginning of Pentecost. And we learn from them God's gracious love for us because they gave of themselves, they gave of their time, and they gave of their possessions to each and every one of us so that we may be raised up in the faith, that we may become faithful followers of Jesus Christ. They actually functioned as stewards of God's gracious gifts based off of what God gave them. It might be their time that they have to give, or their teaching, or their prayers for each of us. And some of them gave of their possessions and of their wealth to each and every one of us. And it might be helping to pay for curriculum in Sunday school, to paying the bills on our buildings, to giving for buildings, to paying salaries. They gave what they had. They gave of themselves, their time, and their possessions, signs of God's gracious love. And they did that as we begin our annual stewardship season out of the graciousness and response to God. They did so with an attitude of gratitude, so that we all may know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we also celebrate this day the gathering together of that wonderful community of saints around the table of the Lord, around the Lord's Supper. For it is out of the Lord's Supper that we hear and experience God's grace to us through Christ's giving of his body and blood. Today, as we come to celebrate that, as you hear the words of consecration, as you hear the celebration and blessing of the elements, take to heart the words of Christ. When you hear those words, the words of, "This is my body given for you, broken for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." Christ gave everything. And all that Christ gives us that we celebrate around the Lord's Supper has been taught to us by the great cloud of witnesses, those saints that have gone before us who have used God's gifts to help us along that path to walk in the way of the Lord through their stewardship of those gifts. Now, that's a lot of church language. Let's be honest. That's a lot of church language to talk about. It's a lot of things to focus upon. And what is the purpose of everything that's taking place there? What is one line of thought or process through each one of those elements? So as I look at our gospel reading for this morning, I think our gospel reading provides the link between each and everything that I've just previously mentioned. I think the three are connected by the gift of Jesus Christ, by the gift of God to you and I. And we will see that gift through the story of the leper this morning. So let's begin looking at our gospel reading. Our gospel reading this morning begins with a leper approaching Jesus. Now, we already know from the first part of Mark that we've already covered that Jesus, as he began his public ministry, taught in the synagogue, not only teaching in the synagogue, he cast out a demon or demons along the way in the synagogue and in other places, and he's also done healing along the way. So he's taught, he's healed, and he's cast out demons. And if you're doing that kind of ministry, if you're doing that kind of activity, I think you've become pretty popular, or at least word would spread about who you are and what you are doing and what's taking place. And so that word has gotten out, and there are people that are seeking Jesus. We have heard of that. They want to be made whole, whether it's in the teaching and learning and how to live life, be reconciling to God through those things, be reconciled to God and one another through healing and health that way, or the casting out of demons. It is with that background that we have the leper come. Now, a leper comes to Jesus, and he's probably heard this. He probably hasn't been a part of the crowd. We don't know. But the leper comes, and someone who has leprosy is an outcast. Now, we don't know in this situation the kind of leprosy. Today, we talk about leprosy as Hansen's disease, which is the very highly infectious disease that causes disfigurement. It could be that. Or it could be a minor skin ailment that has covered his body. Regardless of which type of leprosy it is, because the man has leprosy, he is outside the community. He is ritually unclean as well as physically unclean. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 talk about how to deal with leprosy and what needs to be done with leprosy and how do you deal with individuals with leprosy. But because of this, because this man is afflicted with leprosy, he is not a part of the community, totally cast out, nowhere to turn on his own. So this leper comes to Jesus. And we hear at the beginning of our gospel reading, a leper came to him, begging him and kneeling. He said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." You notice there, he says, "If you choose." Well, what you need to understand is in the original language in which this is written, "if you choose" or "if you will," is written in such a way that it's not a demand. It's not pleading. It's not really begging. It's not bargaining with Jesus. It's a more of a statement of fact. Jesus, I have heard that you can heal. I hear of what you have done. I am asking you to do the same for me. It's just a simple statement. It's a statement of trust and faith. But it's really even more of that when you think about what the leper is asking of Jesus. Because what the leper is asking of Jesus is he's taken his entire life and placing it in Jesus' hands. Because he's outcast as it is, and everything that he has, everything who he will be, will probably be determined on Jesus' response. And the leper comes to Jesus and says, "If you choose, I place my entire life in your hands." Because Jesus could do what? Say no. But here is the leper before Jesus making a request, a statement of faith and trust in Jesus. We move on in the passage and we hear Jesus' response, moved with pity, moved with compassion, moved with the visceral part of his body. Jesus responds and stretches out his hand and touches the leper. Touches the leper, okay? The one who was ritually unclean, ritually impure, physically impure. Jesus touches and says, "I choose, be healed." Jesus at that moment, when he reaches out and touches the leper, places his own life at risk, because at that moment, what happens to Jesus? Jesus is what? He can become ritually impure, unclean, can't get into the temple, can't get into the synagogue. He also puts himself at risk physically. What if he contracts the disease? Jesus puts his life on the line for the leper because he could become the same as the leper and cast out from the community, cast out from the town. Imagine that. Jesus gave everything to the leper at that time. He gave all he had. And he says, "I so choose, be healed." The power of a touch, the power of a hug. And Jesus responds by that power first and confirming his action with his words. And he does this out of the coreness, out of who he is, out of his very being. He gives everything that he has. He gave his body and his blood to the leper. And what happens? Immediately the leper is healed. Immediately the leprosy is gone. It's a resurrection story. It's a resurrection story. Immediately the leper's been raised from being an outcast, being out in the world, alone, desperate, trying to live his life. He has been raised out of that leprosy, out of that condition, out of that life, and been given new life. New life has been given to the leper. Later on in our service, we will have a confession and assurance of pardon. We come and we say in our confession essentially the same things that the leper's doing, only we're doing it with word. We're saying to God, "If you choose, forgive our sins." And we are assured at the end what? Your sins are forgiven. Immediately. There's no time delay. There's not, let's wait for the medicine to work. Let's wait to hear from somebody else. It's immediately. Immediately, as a leper is resurrected to a new life, when we hear the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins, when we receive absolution for our sins, immediately we are forgiven. We're given new life. And that's what we see in the story with the leper. It happens immediately. And it moves from there. The trust that the leper has, the trust that we have, the faith that the leper has, the faith that we have to ask God, if you will, if you choose, you can forgive us, you can heal us, takes place immediately. And we are restored and resurrected to new life. Now, it doesn't end there, because Jesus goes on and tells the leper, I have a bit of instruction for you in the midst of this. And Jesus sternly tells the leper as he sends him away, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So Jesus tells the leper, okay, you're cleaned, you're healed. Now I need you to do what the law, the Torah, tells us to do. Go be verified. Go have it confirmed by the priest. That's in Leviticus. And the priest will confirm that. And after that, the testimony is given. It has been validated. Jesus tells the leper, as I read this and I listen to it, is return to the way of the Lord. Follow the law. Follow Torah. Live in accordance to what you are called to do by the law that has been set before you. It's not change the law, it's that the law doesn't apply. It's go back to the way of the Lord. Follow what God has healed you to go do. You've been resurrected. You've been given new life. Now, this is how you go live your new life. Why, if we don't live that way, what happens with the leper? Well, we saw what happened. Because the leper disobeyed and didn't follow what Jesus wanted him to do, the leper went and praised glory and told everybody the great news, which, let's be honest, if you're resurrected, who wouldn't want to go do that and tell everyone? But it got in the way of Jesus' message. It didn't allow Jesus to go do what Jesus was doing. And so Jesus had to go and leave the city, go out into the country. People still followed him. He still was effective. He's still moving. But the leper didn't listen. Jesus, by having him go back to the priest, was also, it was a final step in bringing him back into the community. It was a validation. You now belong to the community. By going out and telling other people that what was going on, he hadn't been officially recognized. His healing hadn't been validated. He hadn't been welcomed back in. So when Jesus, when we listen to Jesus and he says, follow the way of the Lord, it's to bring us back into community. It's to bring us back into fellowship with one another. You've got new life. What do you do with it? You come back to community. You come back to the way of the Lord. You come back to living with one another as God has called us to live. So this is a story that I think is a resurrection story. And it's not just a resurrection story of the leper, it's a resurrection story of our own lives, but it's also more than that. It's how do we return to community and live as community once we are resurrected? And that's what we have been called to do. That's what Jesus calls us to do, to live in the community. And we see that this Sunday as well, not just through the leper and the call to return to community, but we see the call to community through the saints that have gone before us and how they taught us to live in community, how they gave of themselves, their time and their possessions, how they lived out a life of stewardship to build up the community for the proclamation of the gospel, to build up the community gathered around the table of the Lord and sharing Christ's body and blood. Christ sacrificed everything. And we look at the cross and we see it there. But Christ sacrificed everything this morning. He took a great risk in touching the leper. And he takes a great risk in touching us, because he gives his very life so that we might live. Please take time this week. Reflect on what God has done by reaching out and touching you and saying, be healed. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.